Okay, so social and ethics committee. So just a recap, not every company is required by law to appoint a social and ethics committee. Companies that are required to do so are state-owned companies, listed companies, and then other companies who have a certain public interest score. The material changes here relate to mostly public companies and state-owned companies. So firstly, with regards to the composition of the Social and Ethics Committee, the previous position was that whenever a company is required to appoint a Social and Ethics Committee, that committee must comprise of at least three directors or prescribed officers, one of which needs to be a non-executive director, at least for the last three financial years. The amendment that has now come into effect is that the members of the Social and Ethics Committee of a public company or a state-owned company must now be majority non-executive, at least for the last three financial years. In the case of the other companies that would have to appoint this committee, you're still looking at three directors or prescribed officers, one of which is non-executive. So just a note on non-executive, that does not have to mean independent. It just means they cannot have been involved in the day-to-day management of the company in the last three financial years. So it's not like they have to be a complete outsider. You could source a non-executive director that's maybe linked to a shareholder, for example. Then when it comes to the election of the members of the Social and Ethics Committee, so the previous position was that they were simply appointed by the board. The amendment that has now come into effect is that the members will have to be elected by shareholders at the annual general meeting of a public company or state-owned company. So this is similar to the position currently with audit committees. So the practical effect of this, obviously AGM notices will have to be tweaked going forward. Companies will have to include a resolution now by the shareholders, which by the way will be an ordinary resolution, in terms of which the shareholders appoint the members of the Social and Ethics Committee. A potentially problematic area here is that, you know, we didn't get any kind of transitional arrangements when it came to the Companies Amendment Acts coming into effect. So they are in effect as of 27 December. So, you know, you might have a situation where some companies are, you know, currently non-compliant with the composition requirements of the Social and Ethics Committee. This would not be likely to be the case in the case of listed companies, as you know, they would have majority non-executive directors on their social and ethics committees, if not fully non-executive. But it might be that certain unlisted public companies don't have enough non-executive directors. Obviously, this can be remedied then at the next AGM. It's possible as an interim measure. That you could argue that, you know, a vacancy has arisen and the board can use its power to fill a vacancy on an interim basis. That's potentially an option. And then another potential issue, and we hope this isn't something that's, you know, widespread, but it could be that a company sent their an AGM notice, you know, just before the amendments came into effect, and now the amendments are in force and the AGM notice isn't in line with the new act or the amendments. As I said, you know, this shouldn't be too widespread of a problem. Over here, you could potentially rely on common law principle that of a kind of accrued rights, where if a law changes, rights accrued under the old law would continue to be capable of exercise even when the law changes. So you might say, okay, well, I sent my AGM notice. It was in line with the law when I sent it, so I'm entitled to not have to retract it at least or resend it. And then, of course, there's the option of potentially using the board's vacancy filling powers to bring the composition of the committee in line with the amendments.